My name is John, and I'm a sinner. And that can weigh very heavily on my spirit. Although, of course, sometimes it doesn't. And actually, I'm in much more danger if I don't grasp the significance of my own character and the moral and spiritual dimension of life and the kind of person that I'm becoming. The good news is that God's working on this together with me. The good news is the worse our story, the warmer our welcome. That's the kind of person that Jesus is. The good news is that my mess actually becomes my message, and yours can too. So we're walking together through the 12 steps. We're looking at the 10th step right now. And the 10th step is continue to take personal inventory and, when wrong, promptly admitted it. Now, the beauty of this 10th step is it's actually steps 4 through 9, all consolidated and put into a little daily, continual, as-needed package. I learned how to do a fearless and searching moral inventory, how to admit to God, myself, and another person the exact nature of what was going on, to become entirely ready for God to remove these character defects and humbly ask Him to do that, and then to list if I had harmed somebody, who was it, become willing to make amends, actually do it. So now in step 10, it's just doing that from one day to the next. And you might be thinking that sounds great, but you might not. So let's talk about that for a moment. In 1 John, it talks about if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we're invited into the light. But John also talks about how but human beings prefer the darkness. You might notice today, if you're watching this, especially on some real high-def widescreen thing, I'm kind of avoiding the light. I've got actually lights in my office that I use. But every once in a while, I have to go through this process with my dermatologist where, because I have real fair skin, precancerous, toxic stuff, blemishes have to be brought up to the surface in my face. And it's always just kind of disgusting. And I'm just on the front edges of that right now. So I'm avoiding the light right now because I don't want other people to see the stuff that's there. And then step 10, in a way, it's kind of similar, only what's being brought to the surface is not physical blemishes. It's moral. It's the toxic, spiritual, sinful envy, greed, ingratitude, pride, deceitfulness, lust, resentment that's inside me all the time, but often kind of stays underneath the surface. And this is a huge problem. This is a strange analogy, but it just is very fresh. This morning I was outside with Cooper and Baxter, our two dogs, taking care of business, and I stepped in something really bad. And so my shoe smelled really bad. And I was filled with disgust. Disgust is actually a deep area of study in psychology. Behaviors, objects, customs, and so that are considered taboo and that people experience disgust over. And that was one of them. Cooper does not yet experience disgust. In fact, he actually experiences delight where he should experience disgust. And I won't take that farther except to say it is a tragic thing I can experience more disgust over something that's physical and relatively superficial than over that which could destroy my own soul. And that which I do, that damages other people and makes relationships toxic. Just talking today, doing some step 10 work with somebody about ways that I will communicate frustration or wanting to get my own way, that instead of building the kind of relationship or team that I know I want to be a part of, actually does just the opposite. So now in step 10, I take those moments, those occurrences that happen on a daily basis, and I allow the toxic stuff to come to the surface. The reason that we do this is there's something about daily life, if we're willing to look at, that will make apparent the character defects. I don't like that. I'm frustrated by that. I want to have that. I'm not grateful for that. There's a wonderful kind of a metaphor that's offered by Ian Cron in his book, The Fix, that's about what we're looking at, making the 12 steps available to everybody. It's a great book. He says, most people avoid self-appraisal and pay a price for it. It's called mediocrity at best. This is as Ian's looking at step 10. One of my favorite stories comes from author Gregory Knox Jones. Many years ago, the British came up with the idea of building a golf course in Calcutta, India. This was an ambitious project that required a great deal of planning and labor. When the construction of the course was complete, the British were very, very pleased with themselves. Of course you were. But when the first flight of golfers teed off, the players realized there was a contingency the engineers had failed to bake into their calculations: monkeys. Every time a player hit a ball, a pack of laughing monkeys would run out onto the fairway, grab the rolling ball, and throw it in all directions. At first, the British tried shooing the monkeys away. When that didn't work, they built a tall fence around the course, but the monkeys climbed over it. Exasperated, the British tried capturing and relocating the monkeys, but there were just too many of them. Finally, the British came up with a brilliant solution. They established a rule they wrote into the club's playbook. It read, "You have to play the ball where the monkey drops it." Not a week goes by when I don't repeat that clever rule to myself at least once. Life presents us with a difficult syllabus. To live happily, we need to be adaptable, cultivate resilience, and regularly practice self-reflection. Regularly taking step 10 will teach you to accept and work with your life as it is, even when you do not like where the monkey dropped it. It's kind of the opposite of that serenity prayer where I'm called to accept the things I cannot change and have the courage to change the things that I'm actually able to, and then have the wisdom to know the difference. So now in step 10, we learn to take life and play the ball wherever the monkey dropped it. This person, this interaction, this frustration, this email, this difficulty, this challenge, this task, this lack of sleep, this whatever it is. Now, from this book, 12-Step Sponsorship, a few thoughts about step 10 to make it real practical. Again, the idea behind step 10 is we are not cured from our problem of estrangement from God and our attachment to ego, sin, self. Well, we have at best a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So welcome to the daily reprieve, one day at a time, at step 10. When you get tangled up, when you're angry, upset, do a little spot check. And just ask, what's going on in my spirit right now? Pause and pray, your will be done. And then at the end of the day, we take a personal inventory to review the events of the hours just passed. And you can do this however you want to. As I've told you, often I'm so sleepy at the end of the day, I kind of have to do it in the morning, although I'd still like to get there. But just review the day and ask, where did I resent? What happened where I was being selfish? Where did I deceive somebody else? Where was I fearful? I think about something in my life that's just happened where there was a piece of news and I was both afraid of what might happen and resentful of what had just happened, what I had just learned in a way that was connected with and kind of triggering other events in my life over these past several years. So I had to just ask that question, all right, God, what do I do next? And there was a person that I could contact, and that ended up being quite a helpful thing. Otherwise, I could have just cycled around. Our personal inventory at the end of the day is in the form of a balance sheet, which means we include in the inventory what we have done right, as well as what we have done wrong. Whatever selfishness, dishonesty, resentments, or fear crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with somebody immediately, make amends quickly if we have harmed someone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. This is so good. I don't ruminate on my own guilt or inadequacy. I confess it. I make amends to another person. And then the single best way to move forward in life is, who can I help now? Because it just puts my will back towards true north. We forgive when the fault is elsewhere. Love and tolerance of others is our code. I read this in the exact quote, but I read a sentence recently. It was very helpful to me. Behind the words and actions of other people, there is a story that I will never know. And I was thinking of a person that I know where this is many years ago. There was a response they made to a situation that I thought was not very mature and that could make me pretty frustrated. And then one day, many, many, many years later, I learned there's a story behind that response I had no idea of. And it made me so ashamed of my own judgment. It was so wrong. It put it in such a different light. Behind the words and actions of every other person, there is a story. And you and I will never know. And that's why Jesus says, don't judge. Last comment here. Aren't these practices joy killers as well as time consumers? And the answer is no. Step 10 and the actions involved with it are actually the great pathway to life together with Jesus in his kingdom. Paul Tournier has this wonderful book, Guilt and Grace. He was a great Swiss doctor and therapist and wise, wise person. And he writes about, really, this all goes back to having a very robust step one. We're powerless. We need God's help. There is this great reversal in Scripture, Tournier writes. God prefers the poor, the weak, the despised. What religious people have much more difficulty in admitting is that he prefers sinners to the righteous. I'm going to put quote marks around both those words, sinners and righteous. This is explained precisely by the biblical viewpoint and is confirmed by modern psychology, namely that all people are equally burdened with guilt. Those called righteous are not free from it, but have repressed it. Those called sinners are aware of it and are for that reason ready to receive pardon and grace. And this is why, as Tournier writes, everywhere Jesus defends despised people. Because the worse your story with him, the warmer your welcome. And we come back to him and we come back together. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. You got to play it where the monkey throws it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.